Well, we'll continue with Peter. We'll go to John 21. We have noticed that in the restoration of Peter, the Lord first says, feed my lambs, and then feed my sheep twice. He mentions it. Now in the 18th verse of the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the Lord is speaking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he? That is, he said this, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We have little things brought in to the life of Peter because of the place Peter takes in the Scriptures. And you'll find him in all the Gospels, although we tried to follow in Luke because there's a pattern there of order, a moral order. That's the reason we follow Luke as much as possible. But there's something about these things that are very important for each one of us, but it has special import for any who would go out and in a special way serve the Lord. I say in a special way, because there are some who are really called, you know, to go out and preach the gospel continually. And others are called to minister the word in their assembly or perhaps among the saints in general. And there are fixed principles in the word of God that govern us. But these same principles are for us all in measure. The principle itself is good for us all. And we notice here, we find that Peter now becomes, shall we say, a slave of the Lord Jesus, but willingly, willingly. He had been a slave to sin once, but now these exercises, shall we say, and experiences that he passes through wins his heart over to the Lord Jesus to the point where now the Lord is going to allow him to carry out what he first had said he would do. I'll die with you. And the Lord says, now that's going to be the way it is at the end of your life. You're going to be martyred. And you're going to be martyred, probably indicating that he would die also on a cross. Because history records that when he was martyred, that he told the executioner, he said, I can't be crucified with my head up. I must be crucified upside down. I can't die like my Savior. I'm not worthy. That's what history records, not the Scriptures. So you see how Peter was taken up with the Lord Jesus to the point where he became an absolute slave to him. He loved him so much. I wonder how far off we are from this. Just where do we stand in these experiences that we've been reading about in Peter? Have we had an official call in the first of John? Have we had a personal call, as in the first of John, where we accept Jesus our Savior? Have we had an official call to serve Him? Have we discovered that He would care for us, as in the fourth of Luke? No matter what happens in our circumstances, that we can count on Him. Have we discovered that His eye is upon us? And when He comes into our circumstances and uses our ship, that it's only to teach us what's inside of here, so that we can judge it all. Sin, the root of sin that from which all those sins spring. And we discovered, didn't we, that the only way that we can have deliverance is in companionship with Jesus. Now, we find Peter has learned also that he makes mistakes if he doesn't pray. I'm asking you, where are you this afternoon? How far have you come in this pathway of the Christian in Peter's life? We learn, too, that Peter is not going to be told directly what he's to do, but in sort of a mysterious way, he has to learn in communion. And we learn that in the 12th chapter. Lord, are you speaking to us or to all? Who then is that faithful and wise steward? So we find that Peter is ready too. He has learned now to leave all and follow Jesus in the 18th chapter. In the 22nd chapter, he is at the table and he learns discipline too there. He learns what his own heart is like when exposed as far as strength is concerned. And then he goes through that experience of repentance in three ways, as we've just mentioned. And each time it's followed up with marvelous grace. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That's the way God deals with us. And now the Lord tells him, because he's ready now, Jesus has become his friend in every way, and he's ready to follow Jesus to death now. And now we find that he can be used in service. So that's really what we have before us this afternoon. Peter now can be used in service to God, to the Lord Jesus. And really, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And one would make known his counsels to his friends. And until we come to that place where we're really friends of the Lord Jesus, he has befriended us. But have we come to the place, like Peter has now, where he's been through this experience of denying that he ever knew Jesus? He's been restored in his soul. He's been searched through and through. And he's fully trusting the Lord Jesus. Have we come to this point? Well, then we're ready for service. Ready for service. When we come to the point of being a friend of the Lord Jesus, willingly, we come to the point of service. I found a friend. Lord. You know, after we have arrived at such a place as this, if we have, we still find that we have a great deal to learn. Peter's in this position where he's willing to follow the Lord Jesus. But now he is concerned about what someone else is going to do. That's no good. That's no good. Everyone is responsible to their master. And let's not meddle with what someone else is going to do. Now, it's nice to encourage others and things, but it's the Lord who directs each one as to what we shall do. And sometimes, you know, Peter had this experience before as being a leader among them, and he was striving with the others which should be the greatest. But there was something in it, the taking the place of telling others what to do, that he hadn't yet learned. And that isn't a good thing for a Christian, to go about telling others what they're to do. We leave that with the Lord, between their souls and the Lord. And that's a lesson we have to learn. We have to learn this. What shall this man do? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come. You know, I think this is marvelous grace. Even though Peter was not really saying what he should there, the Lord uses it for a lesson for all of us. We learn here that John is the one who's going to continue to the end in his ministry. John's writings go on to the end when everything else, like all that Paul has set up in the churches, everything's broken down, you can still rely on John's ministry. Because it's that kind of ministry that has nothing to do with what's visible or outward. It has to do with what's inward. And John probably was the last disciple. And his ministry goes on to the end in a special way. Now we look at Acts, the second chapter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like of a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we read the 14th verse. They're mocking, some are mocking, but as to what has taken place. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and so on. Now, we find here that Peter is filled with the Spirit. And beside that, intelligence. You notice here he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He doesn't say this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, because it's not. Now, when the believer comes to the place where Peter is, where he's given himself over completely to the Lord, mistakes we make, yes, still make mistakes. But there is the taking over by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have intelligence in our pathway as to the understanding of Scripture and also for service and the kind of service that we're to do and when to do it, when to speak and when not to speak. Now turn over the verse. We're going to look at several passages just to get a little outline to the second chapter and the 37th verse. Peter's been preaching to them, and he shows how God has raised Jesus up, and well, we read the 36th verse. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here Peter had said at one time, I don't know the man, in the flesh, of course. And now in the spirit, he says, whom ye have crucified. He's bold now. What makes the boldness? The Spirit of God within. And you have the Spirit indwelling. Now when they heard this, they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, this is the difference, isn't it? Between trying to serve the Lord in the flesh and serving in the Spirit. We have now power. Salvation of 3,000 souls in one preaching. Think of it. Power. What power? Because it's eloquence? No. I'm going to read one of Peter's sermons in a minute. 2 minutes long. 2 minutes long. It wasn't eloquence. In fact, it was just the reverse. It was just stating facts. Now, that's a lesson for us, any who speak. Remember, you get it in Ezra or Nehemiah. Read in the book of the law. Give the sense and cause them to understand the reading. That's simple, isn't it? Read in the book of the law. Give the sense and cause them to understand the reading. That's the pattern. In the fourth chapter, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 3,000 and 5,000. Think of it. Preaching of Peter. The man that had said, I don't know that man. What a change there's been. I wonder if there's been any change with us in these meetings while we're here. Now, I know there is a change that's going on by the Spirit of God in each believer. But I mean anything that you have recognized in your life during these meetings. Has there been a change of some kind? Now we turn to the 10th chapter. You can time this if you want to. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we were witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed them openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him, and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick, that is the living, and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have had now the Jews receiving the word, and 3,000 were saved. And now we have the Gentiles, Peter preaching to Cornelius and his house, or company that's gathered in his house. I don't know how many there were. It's quite a company, I suppose. And we find that in this short sermon, the Holy Ghost falls upon the company, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. What tremendous power. Whose power? God's power. Using an empty vessel. Peter, an empty vessel. Well, just to call attention to the fact that they were saved, they believed, and then the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. We find that in the other case, the Jews had to be baptized for the remission of their sins, and then the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. Because the Jews were responsible for crucifying their Messiah, and that's why the difference. Now let's turn to the first epistle of Peter, and we'll learn the character of his ministry, his service. I'm just going to read a few verses here. We'll read verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And also, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In these three verses, we have salvation in three different ways. Peter is speaking here to the lambs. The lambs. The salvation of your souls, that's the beginning. That's when Peter's casting a net, you know, in the second picture we have in Mark's gospel in first chapter in verse 16. He's casting a net, pioneering in the gospel. So here we have the gospel. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But now we notice too, in the second verse that we read, we're kept guarded, it should read, by the power of God. That's salvation as we go through this world. Salvation of the soul first, and now salvation all through the pathway. That's good ministry for the babes, isn't it? For all of us. We're kept by the power of God through faith. What's that mean? It means that you are reading the Word of God, because you can't have faith without the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's faith. People speak of blind faith. I don't know what they mean. No such thing. Faith must rest upon the Word of God. He says it, we believe it. How do we get joy? How do we get peace? Believing. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. But now what other salvation do we have? Salvation of our souls. That's the present enjoyment of it. We have the salvation through this wilderness. We have salvation that the coming is coming, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't give us the rapture. He just gives us the general picture of his coming. Oh, what a salvation that will be when we will not have these bodies any longer to trouble us. We'll be free. The life in the Spirit, you know, is free. Nothing to hold back. Whatever. What a day that will be. Now, this is the truth that Peter teaches in his ministry in the first epistle. He teaches other things too, but we see he's feeding the babes. Now, we noticed in the 12th chapter of Luke that the wise steward brings forth out of his meat in due season. So Peter's work was in two ways. First of all, was to give out the gospel, I'm putting it simply, and then to feed those that were saved. Two parts to the work. You wouldn't try to help someone to be saved and then leave him, would you? You shouldn't. No, Peter has both to do. And so it's not only feed my lambs, but it's feed my sheep too. And that's mentioned twice. Now we look at the fifth chapter in the 10th verse. I think I'll just mention something in the first chapter, though, that I think is good. The 6th verse of the first chapter before we leave it. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Do you remember that word manifold that Peter had learned in the gospel? Manifold more in this present world. He learned that word well. We've left all to follow thee. What do we have? Oh, you'll have manifold more. And in the life to come, life everlasting. Now he's learnt that word and he's going to use it. Manifold temptations. Now the 4th chapter. 10th verse. The last expression. Manifold grace. If there are manifold temptations, there's manifold grace to go with it. Now to our 5th chapter. The 10th verse, but the God of all grace. See how far he's come? He's learned now that everything in his life has to be grace or he can't move. It's all grace. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, when? After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now here's the God of all grace, and he's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after these things that are mentioned. And that's why we're left here, to learn these things, to be settled, to be established. It has to do with the growth of the inner man, because even Hezekiah said, by these things men live, as he goes through those trials. By these things men live. Live. Not down here in this life, but live. It's that inner man that's in view. And as we said yesterday or the day before, you will be up there. What the Spirit of God forms in that inner man down here is all the work of God. And he's forming it right now in the hearts of each one of his. But now what else does Peter teach? Let's turn to the last epistle from the last chapter. Now he's feeding the sheep too. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. That's the book of Hebrews. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now Peter speaks of the day of the Lord, and he brings it all together in one verse. Now we know the day of the Lord covers quite a period. It starts at the end of the Great Tribulation and goes on through the millennial day. And then the Lord Jesus, having subdued all things, he delivers up the kingdom to God, even the Father, that God might be all in all. Now this last chapter of Peter takes us right on to the end and introduces the eternal state and the things that take place at that moment. So he's really feeding the sheep, isn't he? He's gone all the way. He's been used as a servant. He's been prepared and he's been used as a servant to go all the way, the whole pathway. Now, if you're serving the Lord, wouldn't you like to be used of him the whole way, not just part of the way? And to be instructed in the truth so that you can serve him profitably. To be a help to your brethren. And Peter was never the man that Paul was in the sense of doctrine. His line of truth was entirely different. They both preached Christ, but Paul's special ministry was the church, the body of Christ. Peter's ministry was principally to the Jews. And so he mentions here, in connection with this, he says, our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now this is the last writing of Peter. This is toward the end of his life, before he was beheaded. Or rather, before he was crucified, probably. There was a little difficulty between him and the Apostle Paul at one time. You get that in Galatians, where Paul was stood him to the face. And Peter was not going to leave this world until he put it on record that everything was straight, Apostle Paul. about it. You might leave this world this afternoon. Got the record straight? Are you holding out something against someone? Oh, you say he was an apostle. Never mind. He was a man, too. He's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So are you. Your whole life is going to be going to pass in review. Peter and the others asked the Lord on one occasion, how often shall we forgive? He says, until 70 times 7. Do you know you cannot be a fit servant of the Lord Jesus if you're holding out against someone evil thoughts or hard thoughts? If there's a matter between you and someone else, dear sister and dear brother, get it settled now. It may be humbling, but get it settled now. Don't hold on to it. Peter was going on record here that this had been settled. And he says, our beloved brother Paul. He said there's some things he wrote that are hard to understand, but he's the beloved brother Paul. Now we have in this chapter then, in closing, the day of the Lord. And what is it that characterizes this new earth and this new heaven? The eternal state. Something that Peter was particularly interested in. And that's why he no doubt mentions it, although it's divinely inspired, of course. And that's the question of righteousness. Righteousness. You know, Peter's life, there are many things in his life that he had to judge. And there are many things in our lives we have to judge. And so righteousness really comes to the front, you know. And Peter uses this expression now. He says, 13th verse, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not righteousness reigns, that'll be the millennial day. Because whenever there's a reigning, there is evil to be put down. But not here. Oh, what a glorious scene this will be in heaven and earth, where righteousness dwells. Not one bit of darkness will ever enter that glorious scene, whether it be earth or heaven. Because, you know, there will be men who will live on the earth forever, and there will be men who will live in the heavens forever. All those who pass through the millennial day who are believers will go into the eternal state on earth. And they won't be nations anymore. They'll be the people of God. No distinctions. They'll all be the people of God. But all those who dwell in the heavens will be those who have been redeemed from the earth. Those who have died in Christ. Those who have been caught away at his coming for us. The Old Testament saints and the martyrs. And the little babes. They won't be babes then, though. They'll be mature. But they'll be there. There'll be different companies in heaven. Oh, what a day that will be. Because all there is perfection, you know. All perfection there. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. And isn't it nice that Peter completes his life and his service in this way, that he can set before us this beautiful picture of that eternal state where righteousness dwells. Now, everyone who's born again, everyone who loves the Lord Jesus, longs for that day. And I'm sure everyone here longs for that day when righteousness, not reign like in the millennial day, but in righteousness
will dwell.